Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather round the radio. It's time for another installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the program. It's an ensemble show, lots of good people involved. And the host of the program is its founder, Carol Marx, one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism. We also have Stephen J.J. Wiseman Esquire joining us. He's one of our senior correspondents. Later in the program, he'll be talking with TV actress Lonnie Anderson, who'll be talking about chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Kevin Casey from Talkers Magazine will be talking about the media. And now let's jump right into the program with Carol Marx. In conversation, speaking of television actors and actresses, in conversation with Gavin MacLeod. He's an actor, mostly known for playing two classic endearing characters, Murray Slaughter and Captain Merrill Stubing. He's going to talk to Carol about his new autobiography, This Is Your Captain Speaking, My Fantastic Voyage Through Hollywood, Faith and Life, published by Thomas Nelson.
Gavin MacLeod, the warmest of welcomes to A Touch of Grey.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. My hair is now a touch of, used to be gray, a touch of white.
A badge
but
of
But I'm
honor.
So happy to be with you today.
Now, how old were you when you first appeared on a stage, and what was there about your getting on the stage that got you hooked eventually on being an actor?
Well, I was 4 years old, and I was in kindergarten. And I came from a little small town called Pleasantville, New York. So we had about 20 kids in our little kindergarten class. And we did a Mother's Day play, and I was a cute kid with blonde hair, and I mean, I see those pictures and wondered how did it all happen, but it was cute. And I did this play, and at the end of the play, I heard this applause, and I was really affected by that applause. I had never experienced anything like that in my 4 years, and I said, gee whiz, it seems like they like me. I want more of that. And so I decided then, in my little tender age, that that's what I wanted more of, the applause. And then it grew into wanting to be an actor. And I remember going through in all my years in school and high school and everything, and I was doing so many plays at that time, I always wanted to be an actor. And so I've been blessed to do it all my life, and here I am at 82, still doing it, still having a wonderful time, still enjoying life, still have a lot more things to do, and still hearing that applause, which is kind of interesting.
Now, all careers have their ups and downs, and certainly you really broke through on Broadway when you were in A Hat Full of Rain, and then you went to Hollywood, and you were typecast really as a second string heavy. And did that have anything to do with something that happened to you when you were 18 and you wound up carrying this box with you when you went to see a casting director? So tell us.
Well, what happened was when I was in college, my hair seemed to thin out and sort of disappear in a way. And so when I wanted to get to New York, I mean, I was like a bald-headed kid. And there were no parts for bald-headed kids, so I had to buy a hairpiece. And I was an usher, Radio City Music Hall, for $34 a week. And they liked me. They promoted me to the elevator, and then I got $37 a week, which was great. And then one of the great thrills was taking up Lucy Ball and Desi Arnaz in my elevator. Oh, I couldn't sleep that night. That was such a big moment in my life. And 4 years later, I was on Hollywood doing all their shows. But back then, so I didn't have the hair, so I saved enough money, and I finally got myself a hairpiece, which was a second-hand hairpiece. It belonged to somebody else. And I asked the guy, who did it belong to? He says, I can't tell you. I said, oh, it would just be nice to
That's
know.
That's nice. Yeah, it would be nice, yeah. You never know.
And so he says, don't tell anybody. It belonged to Frankie Lane. I said, Frankie Lane, the singer? I can't believe it. Wait till I go tell the Rockettes, because that's where I knew them all. And I looked great in that hairpiece. There's a picture of it in my book. And it was great, except every time it heard Mule Train, it would go flip-flop, flip-flop, flip-flop. If you're familiar with Mule Train and Frankie Lane's life and song, that was a very big hit of his.
So
it really belonged
to
a wonderful announcer in New York, B. Wayne's husband, Andre Baruch. B. Wayne was a big band singer. He had a voice like that and narrated most things, and it belonged to him. And years later, I had told this story on The Tonight Show during the Love Boat years, and years later, I got a phone call. He said, "Hello, Gavin, this is Andre Baruch." I said, "Oh, how about an honor to talk to you?" He says, "I'm in town now. Would you be interested in another hairpiece?" Which I thought was kind of cute. You know, it was so nice he had heard that story on The Tonight Show. So, yeah, so being bald, you know, Jessica Tandy used to say, as an actor, you'll take what you'll think is your detriment, your liability, and it'll become your asset. So being bald when I was young really became an asset. And because of that hairpiece, and eventually I got different other ones, I could do both shows twice, both television shows twice, sometimes four times. And with Desi Lou, I would start on a Monday, and in 2.5 days, we'd shoot a half-hour show called, let's say, The Whirly Birds that they had back in those days. And I'd have the hairpiece on and play a young guy who was shooting everybody up. And then Wednesday afternoon, I'd take that off and change my wardrobe and play the head of a gang. And it was just wonderful training. So that hairpiece really came in handy for my career.
Hey, you are right. And you know, when you got that wonderful part on the Mary Tyler Moore Show playing Maurice Sloter, you could be bald because he was a bald, average Joe guy.
He was Mr. Average, yeah. I represented all the brown baggers, you know, all the guys that go to work every day, bring their lunch with them. And when I visited, I would visit during the Mary Tyler Moore days, you'd go out and go to different cities, you know, representing the show. And every time I went to a CBS affiliate, there was a guy there who was a writer, who brought his lunch to, in a bag. Had kids, he was working, and he was just working his tail off, just trying to make a living. The average Joe, and that's who associated with Murray, and that's who Murray was. And when I really got to ABC down in, it was a CBS affiliate down in Los Angeles, there was a guy there, they said, "You got to meet Murray." I said, "No, but I'm Murray." He said, "Well, he's Murray, too." So I met a guy at his day. He was a writer. His name was Murray. And he said, "Do you want to have some of my lunch?" And he took out a brown bag. So, you know, it was kind of cute, interesting to play a character like that because people did associate with him. He was the kind of guy that everybody got awards but him, and he did all the work. And that was a wonderful 7 years with the best actors in the world on that show.
I believe it, and I think it was so successful. You got the feeling that not only did everybody care about the show, but that they really liked each other, and they were such talented.
They really did. We really did. And now, you know, we're all getting older, and things. I just worked with Betty White 2 weeks ago, and that was a wonderful charge. But, we just keep going on and on and on. We really cared for each other. It was a family, and I missed them all.
You know, and it made so many people happy. And then you got on the Love Boat, which, as I said, I used to watch every Saturday along with the rest of America. And I think the show is so popular because my teenagers liked it. My mother liked it. My husband liked it. It had all these different stories on it.
Three different stories. We tried to have one sophisticated comedy, one broad comedy, and one poignant story. And the poignant story, when Aaron Spelling contacted me about doing a show, he sent me the script. So I read the script, and I was very touched by this one story that Phil Silvers wound up playing about an old Jewish guy from Brooklyn who wanted to get on the ship because he felt he was ready to die. And the cemetery was completely full. So he thought, well, I'll die on the ship. They'll throw me overboard. It won't cost anything, and that's it. And so he comes on the ship, and he meets this wonderful older lady, and they just seem to take up with each other. And it's just a beautiful relationship starts developing. And then before they get back to port, she goes in to see him, and he's passed away. And it really brought me to tears. And so I said, boy, if you intend to do a show like this, that's my intention, to do a show that will touch people every week. And the other one's a comedy. And so that's what we tried to do for all those years. And that's why I really wanted to do the series. My wife read it and she said, boy, she said, nothing like this has ever been on television, when she read the pilot, the first one. And I guess there hadn't been, you know. And you can see, as a result, I remember all of a sudden, the second year we were on, people started to talk about cruising on other shows. I said, I think something's happening here. And then Princess Cruises started to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And we introduced, really, I think, the average Joe to the cruise industry.
I know you did. I know you did.
And I've been blessed ever since the show went off the air. I've been working for Princess Cruises.
That's Gavin McLeod in conversation with Carol Marks, and they're talking about his new autobiography, This Is Your Captain Speaking, My Fantastic Voyage Through Hollywood Faith and Life, published by Thomas Nelson. We have more conversation between Carol and Gavin McLeod coming up. He's going to talk about what it was like to dance with Ginger Rogers, the success of The Love Boat, and why he wrote the book. That's coming up next when A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/GOV delivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/GOV delivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best. So take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Continuing now with A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. And I want to remind you that if you enjoy these conversations and these programs on A Touch of Grey and want to hear some of the best of the past, they're archived on our website along with other information about living a good life and resources that will help you do that. It's atouchofgrey.com. Grey is spelled with an E. Here now is Gavin McLeod and Carol Marks, part two of their interview. In this part, he talks about what it was like to dance with Ginger Rogers, the success of The Love Boat, and why he wrote the book titled This is your captain speaking, My Fantastic Voyage Through Hollywood Faith and Life, published by Thomas Nelson.
One of the wonderful things about your being on that show was, my goodness, I can't believe, really, the most exciting, the best actors and actresses that you got to work with. I mean...
Oh, it was incredible.
I used to go to work every Monday.
Thank God I was meeting these people I wanted to be like when I was a little boy. I mean, when Helen Hayes came on there, the first lady of the American theater, and she came on for 3 years in a row. It was just wonderful. You know, and then Ginger Rogers came on, you know, and Douglas Fairbanks Jr. and...
What was it like to dance with her?
John Mills and the whole family came on.
Yeah.
It just, one after the other. Ruth Gordon, who I adored, came on there. One after the other. It was just a gift for me to be on that show and to meet these people. You know, and they're starting to do reruns now of The Love Boat out here where I live in the Palm Springs area on Sunday afternoons. So that's going to be nice.
Now,
I'm so glad that you appreciate that show, because when we went on the air, the critics said, this is fluff, this is mindless television, how can you do this after the Mary Tyler Moore show? I said, I believe in it, and they said it's going to sink like the Titanic. Well, it didn't. It went on to be, we were eventually in 90 countries.
Wow.
I had a meeting one night in New York City when a new ship was coming out, and Prime Minister Thatcher was there, and I took some shots with her and everything, and she didn't know much about the show, but I told her we were in 90 countries, and that really impressed her.
I bet.
How many shows are in 90 countries, you know?
No.
And that's one reason I did the book, and to put my face on the cover of the book, because Princess Cruises will be selling them, and there'll be people on their ship, and They may not know who I am, but they may remember the face from way back there on that television series and say, let me take a look. And I think the pictures are pretty good in the book. That'll make
people. Guess what?
Yeah. Maybe I'll buy it, you know, because
people are cruising these days, and they're the ones that have saved up the money to do it. So you're going to have an awful lot of people that know you. You didn't answer one question I had, and I've got to ask you again, because I would have been scared stiff. You're a good dancer, but what was it like to dance with Ginger Rogers? I would have been frozen, because she's so
well. All
so
I did was a time. The little girl that played my daughter Vicky, she and I, Jill Whelan and I, did a time step with Ginger Rogers, and she was absolutely. You just couldn't believe you were even talking to her, you know, and she was absolutely great. And then about 4 years after that, they were having a big evening for Ginger Rogers. So my wife and I went, and she came in, and she was in a wheelchair. It was so sad. And we sat there, and they were showing all these wonderful movies when she was dancing with Fred Astaire and stuff like that. So I said, I wonder what she feels like, you know, sitting there, because she was a dynamite lady with so much energy and everything when we worked with her. And then to see her like this, it was so sad for me. But, you know... we all have moments, and we all have different things we have to deal with. And you know, she was sensational.
And you've had some difficult things to deal with, but sometimes we learn the best lessons from them. And you had a tough battle with depression and alcoholism when you were working on McHale's Navy. And then you had some tough times when you divorced your second wife and then remarried her. But those things, those difficult times led to some good things coming out of them. And that's what's so important. So good things did come out of them.
Yeah, I think the whole lesson is not to give up. Because, you know, I tried to give up at one time. And when I allowed, you know, my buddy Ted Knight, who I adored, he said, how could you do this, man? You're a glorified extra. Well, that's all I needed to hang into my head, glorified extra, after doing all those shows. And that really got the best of me. And I was saying, where am I? What am I doing? You know, and one line a week. My heavens, I didn't see the good side of it. I saw, because I thought I was in charge of my life at that time. And so I thought, well, okay, I'm not worth anything. And I started drinking. And it was just terrible when I look back on it. And but I did survive that attempt at suicide of trying to go off the cliff that night. And so there was a reason God kept me around here. And I think that is to continue this career he's given me, to be where I am now, where I feel so fortified, I feel so strong, and I feel, and man, I can't wait to get on the road.
And you are truly happy, and that is such a blessing. And you've had some, you know, health problems. We all do as we get older.
Oh, sure.
But what
I don't,
you know,
I don't let it get the best of me. You know, I've had the bypass surgery. I have stents in my groin to try to keep the blood flowing correctly. I have a thing in the left atria of my heart, so I don't have get a stroke. I have some steel things in my back, the last two discs down there. But you know, I'm still here, and I'm so grateful for every day, and I want to make the most of every day.
And that's your message.
I'm so glad I'm starting my day talking with you.
Well, and you've made my day, and you know what? As you say in your book, getting older is a fascinating journey. And, you know, I can tell how well you are, and emotionally, physically, I can tell it by your voice. Your voice is so strong, so powerful, and that is such a blessing. And thank you so much, Gavin McLeod, for coming on the show. Keep up your wonderful life, and you've made so many millions of people happy, and I heartily recommend your book. This is your captain speaking, My Fantastic Voyage Through Hollywood, Faith and Life. And so the best of luck and health to you and your wife.
Thank you. God bless your day.
That's Gavin McLeod, the well-known TV actor and author. His book is titled, This Is Your Captain Speaking, My Fantastic Voyage Through Hollywood, Faith and Life, published by Thomas Nelson. And, of course, the interview is conducted by the star of our show, its founder and guiding light, Carol Marks, one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism. Coming up next, a conversation with Kevin Casey from Talkers Magazine. And then later in the program, Steve Wiseman will be talking with Lonnie Anderson and Dr. Dennis Dougherty. All that's coming your way when A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security websites. Pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/GOV delivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/GOV delivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving, according to the U.S. Department of Energy. Speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select disability starter kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're joined at this point in the program by Kevin Casey, who is a senior correspondent on our program, as well as being the vice president and executive editor of the trade magazine Talkers, which serves the talk radio industry. And sometimes we peek behind the curtain and see what's going on in the media, and sometimes we just talk about stuff that's being discussed in the media. And Kevin, this is, of course, the weekend of Thanksgiving 2013, I don't know, but you're following what people are saying. I follow what people are saying on talk radio. Certainly a very large part of the revenue generated by all the media is advertising for Black Friday. On the other hand, isn't it ironic that when you talk to people, most people, it seems, they find Black Friday kind of repugnant and that we lose the spirit of the holiday? Do you think there's kind of a disconnect between these two extremes?
Not necessarily. I'm always amazed how many people I talk to who love Black Friday. They look at it as sort of a holiday unto itself, and I think that a lot of people believe they're getting good deals. The fact that it's spreading out and there's more and more, you know, where they're beating Black Friday, having earlier days, I think people like that as well, too.
Well, why do they believe it, though? I mean,
that's a great question, Michael. And the answer is, I think, you know, it's just the simple fact that some people will believe almost anything. And some people look at it, it's a sport, you know, they enjoy it. It's the thrill of the hunt. I don't know why, but they do. Going out early in the morning, you know, to go to these stores before they open. I think some people get a kick out of that.
Well, some people are camping out all week.
Oh, yeah. I know.
I've heard that some of the big stores have tents now.
It
makes no sense. And I don't want to be talk about this in a way that is disparaging to the income of many of the radio stations carrying us. But on another level, talk radio is supposed to tell it like it is. I mean, obviously, the larger they spread it out, the more they spread it out. Or now I'm hearing ads from stores saying, no longer do you have to worry about not getting what we have. We guarantee that we have everything in stock. Well, obviously, if they have everything in stock, that means it's not that big a bargain. That if we only have 20 units and it's 80% off what you normally would pay, and you're going for a $3,000 television, and you're getting it for $800 or something like that, okay, you'll sit out there.
Right.
But if suddenly everything's guaranteed, they're not going to have 10,000 $3,000 TVs for $500.
I agree with you, and that's why I'm convinced it's all about the pageantry of our consumerist society.
A consumer religion, huh?
Well, yeah, it's almost like the pregame show, the parade before the big game starts.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess I'm falling out of sync with what hip people do. I don't know.
Wow, boy, that's a whole conversation unto itself.
It's just, well, how about you? And we only have about 30 seconds. Are you a Black Friday freak?
No, but I'll tell you, my wife and one of her friends do sit down and they do the digital Black Friday, where they sit around and drink beer and order things online.
Lovely. All right, Kevin, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Kevin Casey, who is the vice president and executive editor of Talkers Magazine. If you want to know more about what's going on in the talk radio business, check it out at talkers.com. I'm Michael Harrison. More Touch of Gray is coming your way in just a moment.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only.
Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marx offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marx is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engines.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Hey,
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're joined now by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman, who'll be with us for the rest of this hour. And he is in conversation with Lonnie Anderson and Dr. Dennis Daugherty. She's best known for portraying Jennifer Marlowe on the hit CBS sitcom WKRP in Cincinnati. And he is a professor at the University of Kentucky who's board certified in pulmonary and internal medicine. They're going to talk to Steve about COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and Lonnie's experience as a caregiver.
I want to ask you a couple of questions, though, about your career. You played extraordinarily beautiful women in many of your roles, really tough acting, but they were also... But, you know, one of the things that was always so good about, for instance, Jennifer Marlowe, and you also played Jane Mansfield, is they were intelligent, smart women. Sometimes they may have played dumb, but they were sharp as anything. Was that by design?
Yes, and definitely Jennifer was that, because I was a brunette actress, a very serious one, and didn't want to be a dumb blonde. And I thought it was about time that glamorous women had a brain. And so did Hugh Wilson, who created the show. And so it was a great partnership and a great breakthrough character for me.
Yeah, and it was absolutely a classic. But it was a great role. It wasn't just the dumb blonde. She was a very, very smart cookie. You were also quoted as saying, look up the definition of rejection in the dictionary, get really comfortable with it, and then maybe you can go into acting. Is it tough to be in a profession with that much rejection?
Well, you know, it is tough, and so you have to just want it more than anything. And so when I do give any lectures to universities, kids coming into the theater department, that's one of the first things I tell them, because if you just want to be a star, that's not the place for you to be.
Do you think it steals you for other difficulties that you may, that life brings, that you actually learn to deal with rejection and, you know, being put down and having to deal with all these difficulties?
Yes, and then going right back out there and trying again. And if people that can't do that just should not be in show business.
All right, well, that's it for me then. I'm out of here.
Has anyone ever rejected you?
What time is it? All right. Dr. Daugherty, November is National COPD Awareness Month and National Caregiver Month. A lot of people aren't familiar with COPD. What is it?
Well, COPD is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and it encompasses both chronic bronchitis and emphysema. And the characteristics of it is a chronic cough. Patients will bring up this phlegm or mucus out of their lungs, sometimes clear, sometimes, you know, colored, which tells us they're having a flare. They can have tightness in the chest or wheezing. But really what is most concerning to them and brings them to the doctor is this shortness of breath. Now, this can be certainly with moderate exertion, but it can be with mild exertion or just day-to-day activities that they notice that they're getting short of breath. You know, they slowly modify their lifestyle over years to decades to do things that don't cause shortness of breath, so they may have already lost half their lung function. We try to measure that with a lung test called spirometry, and then we provide medications such as these puffers you see or nebulizers to open up their airways, to have them breathe easier, have room for the next breath, and at least partially relieve or prevent the shortness of breath, which is so bothersome to them.
Is this something that ultimately can be managed but actually never cured?
That's correct. Unfortunately, COPD is not curable, but that's, again, be optimistic. The glass is half full. We can take the lung that is left and maximize it to function as best as it can, and people will have less of these symptoms. So we should be optimistic to diagnose it. Certainly people should stop smoking if they can, because that accelerates the loss of lung function. But we can take what's left and improve it to help that patient in their day-to-day activities.
Lonnie, how'd you get involved in this?
Well, both of my parents had COPD, and they were smokers from the time they were teenagers, when it looked so glamorous in the movies.
Oh, yeah.
And, yep, so my dad was a four-pack-a-day smoker, and my mom lit one right off the other. And that's the way I grew up, you know, with that secondhand smoke. But I watched them slowly change their lifestyle, like Dr. Daugherty said. And then lean more on me, and I became a caregiver. And it really is, I was a teenager, and my sister and I would say, well, you know, Dad's coughing, it's time to get up to go to school. And it would be like 15 minutes, and then after years, it was an hour that it took him to clear his lungs. And I had no place really to get any information. There was no COPD label. And so I really didn't know what was going on. And now we're teamed with Synovian Pharmaceuticals, and there's a wonderful website, copdtogether.com, that caregivers can go to and have the tools to really help them to be the best caregiver that they can be.
What do the caregivers actually do when you have a family member who is suffering with COPD?
Well, of course, you can take them to the doctor, and you watch them change their lifestyle. So you talk to them about it, because a lot of people are embarrassed that they've changed their lifestyle. They don't want to face it. And you have to be their second set of ears. So when you go to the doctor, like on the website, you get a diary, and you can write in the diary the questions you want to ask or what's happening every day to your loved one. So you can discuss it with the doctor and really be more knowledgeable as to help them with the next step.
So in this survey of 500 COPD caregivers, they actually surveyed them, and to my surprise, as a physician, a third of them said that they really experience stress when they bring their loved one to the doctor's office, something, you know, I don't want to happen. So we try to encourage them to use the diary so they can watch the patient. Oh, they were a little bit more anxious this past week. They weren't as active. That sputum, that phlegm, that mucus is changing color. Can you help us, doctor? And then they can relax. They can do what I think is extremely important, monitor the patient and ensure that they take those medicines every day to help prevent these symptoms and really give them the support. The other thing I see is they often are very tired when they come to the office. It's extremely important. I encourage them, try to get someone to give you that hour break or maybe 2 hour break. Go see a movie. Go out to dinner with your significant other, and then you'll come back, you know, more enthused. And Lonnie, as you say,
I always say you can't take care of someone else unless you take care of yourself.
No, absolutely. That's what they tell us on the airplane. Put that mask on your own face and then run off the plane or something.
And then help somebody else, yes.
Yeah, but, you know, but you're right. There's two really great lessons in what you both said there. And one is it's very difficult to deal with any kind of a health thing alone because we kind of get overwhelmed. And I know I've been to the physician, and I haven't even heard what the physician has said. But my wife is there, and my wife remembers everything, but that's neither here nor there. But they really are there to help you. And the idea of that diary, but also, as you said, caregiving is really stressful, and caregivers do need to take care of themselves.
That's exactly
now,
right.
With what, Dr. Daugherty, if this is, you put this, you know, very well, and looking at this glass is, I'm going to even say, three quarters full, but what happens if people don't take care of themselves? What if they don't treat the symptoms? What can happen then?
Well, unfortunately, then they become less active, and when you're sitting on the couch watching soap operas or football games, you're not moving around, you get more anxious. So then the doctor needs to prescribe anxiolytics. You get more depressed, you know, more antidepressants. If you're not very mobile, more at risk for things like osteoporosis. And you, just your overall sense of well-being is, you know, maybe kind of even giving up. Where if we can give them that boost, have the caregiver give them that boost, get them up off the couch, you not only treat the underlying lung disease when they take their medicines, but you also make them feel better, less anxious, less depressed, etc. So there really is that encouragement not to say, oh, everything's over, because there always is a little bit of a reversible component.
That's Dr. Dennis Daugherty and Lonnie Anderson in conversation with Steve Wiseman. And if you'd like more information about chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, visit the website copdtogether.com. That's copdtogether.com. Steve Wiseman returns for our final segment, in which he's going to talk about something very important, how to avoid holiday scams. That's next, when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in a moment. Thank you.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage, when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
For almost every American worker, Social Security is part of the plan for a secure retirement. It's important to know how the program works. If you have questions, the answers are easy to find when you visit www.socialsecurity.gov. Use the retirement estimator to get a benefit estimate. Browse our frequently asked questions. You can even apply for benefits online. Visit www.socialsecurity.gov to figure out your retirement plan. That's www.socialsecurity.gov.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we come to the final segment of this hour of our broadcast and continuation of our conversation with Steve Wiseman, Stephen J.J. Wiseman, Esquire. And Steve is certainly a man out there protecting the public against scams. His website is scamaside.com. He's written the book, The Truth About Avoiding Scams, published by Prentice Hall. And he's here now to talk about something that's quite timely and, unfortunately, quite prevalent. He's going to talk about holiday scams. Steve?
Thank you, Michael. You know, remember Andy Williams? He was always singing about the holiday season. It's the most... No, I don't want to do that to you, but it's the most wonderful time of the year. But for identity thieves, it's even better, because the opportunities to steal our identities are increased, and there are a lot of people that are just apt to let their guard down at this time that they really can least afford to do so. But I can help keep you ho-ho-hoing instead of ho-ho-oh-knowing. As despicable as it may sound, scam artists, and remember, these are the only criminals we refer to as artists, pose as phony charities around this time of year to solicit money from us. You know, they take advantage of our generosity. Now, you may receive an email or a telephone call from someone who says they're with a charity. And here's the thing. Even if you're on the federal do not call list, which I hope you are on and I'm on, the law provides an exception that allows calls from charities. So whenever you receive an email or that telephone call from someone saying they are a charity, you have no way of knowing whether or not they are legitimate or not. Also, it's important to remember there are a lot of phony charities that have names that are remarkably similar to that of legitimate charities. So, for instance, the American Cancer Society is a legitimate charity. The National Cancer Society is a scam. And sometimes we don't remember these. If you're interested in making a donation to a charity, first go to www.charitynavigator.org. Let me give you that again. www.charitynavigator.org. Look up the name of the charity that's asking for your donation. This website will tell you whether that charity is a scam or not. And here's something interesting. It'll also tell you how much of your donation goes to their administrative costs and fundraising costs and how much actually towards the charity's charitable work. Now, if the amount they spend on their administrative costs and fees and raising of money costs exceeds 25%, you may want to consider another legitimate charity. Finally, if you're going to give something to that charity, you probably don't want to give it on the phone to someone who calls, even if you're pretty sure they're representing the charity. Because when you do that, and they have a right to make a living too, but when you do that to give to the charitable solicitor who calls you on the phone, they're taking a percentage. If you want the money to really go to the website, go directly to the real website of the charity you want to give to in order to find out how to either give online, which you can do, or you can mail your donation. So, you know, maybe it seems like it's a lot to go through, but really the charities can use our help. This is a time of year that we do think of generosity, but make sure you're giving to the good guys, not the bad guys.
Thank you, Steve. Good information to protect us from those holiday scams out there. And keep in mind, folks, that Steve has a website that's very, very important and valuable. It's called scamaside.com. And the truth about avoiding scams is the Bible on this subject. It's published by Prentice Hall, and he is the author thereof. All right. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Beverly Santinello, our producer on the front line, taking our pieces and putting them together. Carol Marks, the host and founder of the program. Thank you, Kevin Casey. And we certainly do appreciate your joining us right here on A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison, inviting you to join us next weekend for another installment of our show.